Every leaf, every brick in the ashram vibrates with mother, mother, mother. First of all, it's an experience. It's not that their names, everywhere they putting the name mother and put it. It's an experience which people can have. I myself have this experience. And it's not only about the ashram perimeter. I have this experience about several buildings within the ashram, including the place where I'm living, Desiree. The playground. At one point, this experience was so overwhelming that I literally swallowed the sand of the playground. Nothing happened. I have not only survived, nothing happened. I mean, I felt very happy. Why? Maa ke charan pade. Every building was consecrated to her. She has looked at those buildings. She is the owner of all these buildings. Some places where she has gone, others she has had her gaze. So, wherever the divine in some way or the other has entered, that place becomes sanctified. That is our culture. That is how we look at it. So, we have these things, no? Jine charanante niksi sursari. Shankar jata samai. So we have this thing about the divine, wherever the divine feet have trod, wherever the divine eyes have been cast, that belongs to the divine. So when it is said, vibrates with mother, is an experience one can have if through the psychic door one enters into contact. People ask me about joining the ashram. I said, it's not about joining an institution. You can't domesticate and institutionalize people who have, you know, gone along certain lines. But mother, yes. Mother, it's mother's place. It's Shurvindo's Yagya Bhumi. It's Tapostali. Who cares? Outer administration will come, go, change. All these are flow and flux of time. But mother and Shurvindo are permanent. So that's an experience which one can have. Not through the mind. Mind will analyze and say, show me that brick. Jahan likha hai. कहाँ है वो पत्थर जिस पर राम लिखा है? So what it means is that everything that has, it vibrates with their presence, and by the opening the psychic door, we can have all these experiences. But as I said, I have also had the experience which I must share, because this is an experience which I feel is a limited experience. Let me add that. Because I have traveled far and wide, so I can share this. All over India, many centers, many places where mothers and Shurvindo's presence is installed, and many homes of devotees as far back as far as in US. And I can tell you the name of one particular devotee. I won't mention the name, but the whole family is here now. So, Mahipal. So I used to go to US and go to his house. In US. And the moment I entered, it was to me an ashram house. And I used to tell him, ashram ka ghar hai. And not only because of the atmosphere, and they would make, they would try to make food, something which was like the ashram food. But it gave that feel, because everybody was invoking her presence. And it's, of course, strange way, divine grace, that now everybody is here in the ashram. The whole family. In that time it used to feel it's an ashram house. And there are places where I have felt this. So we also should not, it is true, but we should not turn ashram into a limited, like a church. Wherever people invoke the mother's presence, and I have felt it in number of places, you feel that this is mother's house. So one truth is, they are both complementary truths, that there is the ashram physically located, but there is also true that there is the subtle ashram. Mother and Shurvindo have spoken about it, and the 57 experiences about this. And this ashram, inner ashram, is spread far and wide. And it is the duty or task given to all of us, wherever we are, that turn your own house into an ashram. I was so happy. My friends from Mumbai who said that we have a Matri Sadan there, and this is so beautiful. That's how it should be. That's the inspiration. Mother says that, I wish that the whole world becomes the ashram. This is a model to be replicated infinitely all over the world. So this would be my answer.
We express our gratitude to Sri Aurobindo. We have to be leading the example.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the question they asked.
Absolutely. To be a living example of their teachings. Which means that it means two things. One way is the longer way. Where did the teaching come from? From yoga. People try to transport the teaching. For instance, people open now centers of integral education. But you can't do it. You may use the word integral. You may say physical, vital, mental, psychic, spiritual. Give a lecture. It doesn't happen. Because integral education, for that matter, it is an outgrowth of the ashram life very organically. So, unless we live the teachings, we engage in yoga, it doesn't help. We may use the word integral education. Now, if there is also a movement, integral psychology. My thing is very simple. If you are not, I am not saying what degree you are practicing, what experiences you have, that's not important. You may have some experience, you may not have some experience, that's not important. You are trying to live the teaching. People have classes on integral psychology and they don't have faith in mother. So what kind of integral psychology you are teaching? You don't start with faith in the divine. That's the yoga starts with that. You don't have aspiration for the divine. You are making it disembodied. It's like, it was a bad joke. Now it's rectified in Air Force. They used to say that what is DRDO? Unfortunately, Defense Research Development Organization. I would say it's a place where you make the body of hippo and call it a horse. Now, this is not true. Now we have Tejas and other things. But that's how it used to be. So you remove the most important part. Integral psychology is coming from integral yoga. Right? Integral yoga core is mother. Aspiration, faith, surrender. We take all of that apart. We truncate it and put it. This is mental. This is vital. This is physical. On a blackboard, making it even worse. So one is to live the teaching. That means to engage in yoga. That means to start with read Mother and Sri Aurobindo, what they have said about yoga. And the second aspect, if that is very difficult, though it's not difficult, if that is very difficult, then read Sri Aurobindo and the mother's life. Just try to bathe in that light. See how Sri Aurobindo would react. Wrong word, but well, in the absence of, in the presence of certain situations. What was his patriotism? What was his brand of politics? Apply it. What it means to be a patriot. Patriotic sentiments are consistent with yoga. He says that. Mother said Sri Aurobindo deeply loved his motherland. How did he, as a teacher, Sri Aurobindo in Baroda, how was he as a teacher? Still they have kept the room. Mother's grace got to visit that room. It's such a beautiful feeling in Baroda where he would sit in his room and students would come in. How did he teach? How did he live in Baroda? When we look at, it's not about living, it's not physical imitation. It's not like I'll start wearing dhoti because Sri Aurobindo wore dhoti. That would be absurd. Or I'll start sleeping on mat because Sri Aurobindo in Baroda lived on. Not the outer part. Look at his humility. Look at his compassion. Look at his love. Look at his all-embracing, all-enveloping vision. When you read his letters to his wife, here is somebody who is not, I mean, selfishness is millions away. Who is literally telling to Mrilalini Devi that, see, his wife, that what can I do? I know I am not able to send you enough because millions of my brothers and sisters, they are knocking at my door. What he was doing with the money, we don't know. How he was helping, in what way. Look at what he writes to her. When she complains, he doesn't fight with her. He says, I know, you are very bholi. You just come under the sway of people who are around you. Why? Because they are all saying, see, your husband is big man. He is, Cambridge. What is the use? He should buy a car. He should do this, all this, whatever they may be saying. He says, bahut bholi ho. Can you ever heard any reprimanding like this? Not reprimanding, but awakening her. But will you come along with me? Will you be my Shakti? Then he doesn't say you have to do complicated sadhana. He says all that is needed is to have faith in God. And whatever I receive, being my Shakti, you will receive it automatically. That is Sri Aurobindo. Look at Sri Aurobindo's intelligence. There is a picture of Sri Aurobindo on the side of the armchair while Mrinalini Devi is sitting. Have you noticed that picture? Sri Aurobindo and Mrinalini Devi. Mrinalini Devi is sitting and Sri Aurobindo is on this armrest. He is kind of half resting. And this picture reminds me of one line that he says in Ishavashupanishad. What is that love that flows from an infinite intelligence into someone who is far below? That is the gap between him and Mrinalini Devi. But look at his love. And the other day, somebody had done photoshopped, which was so jarring. Sri Aurobindo is sitting on the armchair and the mother is standing in the same way by his side. I said, Sri Aurobindo would never appreciate this. Mother wouldn't mind Sri Aurobindo seated on the royal throne. Yes, he would sit on the stool by his side. And that's why it used to say that, the only two people who have surrendered themselves completely, the mother to Sri Aurobindo and Sri Aurobindo to the mother. And we have that story where Sri Aurobindo is dinner mother would bring, whatever little dinner. So mother, 9:30, 10 o'clock she came. So then she's supposed to give dinner. But meanwhile, people are waiting for her in the courtyard of the ashram for meditation. And she says, I'll just come back, and she goes into trance. People are sitting. It's 11. 11:30. Mind you, people are not only sitting. Sri Aurobindo didn't have his dinner. At 11:30, Devan Bhai asks him, sir, mother has not yet gone. People are waiting. First he said, wait for 5-10 minutes. Then at 11:30 he says, tell them they can go. Mother comes out of her trance at 1 o'clock. they are waiting? She starts rushing. Sri Aurobindo, no complaint, no grudge. I mean, I just feel, I wish I could apply just 1% of this patience. That's why in synthesis he says about the divine, he has all the infinite patience of the father and infinite love of the mother. Patience of father. Just apply 1%. See how forgiving he was, generous by nature. What? Death for a few stones? Not keeping it in his heart. Oh, you fakir, you tried to attack me. I'll show you. You don't know my powers. Oh, death for a few stones? And one lesson only, if nothing else. And in the life divine show speaks of ascent of life. And he says, what is that highest term in which life can climb and by what power? And he says, love. Spiritual evolution will lead us to that. And then he defines love. What is love but giving oneself completely? I think if we can practice 1% of just love, what is love? No wonder Keats wrote this one word which is profaned the most. So if we can practice just a little bit of Mother and Sri Aurobindo's life, read it. Of course, nowadays I have to say from authentic sources, because even that they didn't leave. Sri Aurobindo says, I am afraid my disciples will murder me in cold print. They almost did so. But anyways, beautiful biographies, all that I have already spoken. Read it. When we read these biographies, one is we feel inspired because there is a living example. Personally, it has helped me a lot. Apart from reading all the works of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. Second is that we come in contact with Sri Aurobindo and the mother's consciousness. And that changes us. When you read about mother and Sri Aurobindo, how does Ramayana change us? This way. So we are coming in contact with the consciousness of mother and Sri Aurobindo, and that changes us. And that's why it is important. So these are two ways by which we can become a living example. Short of that, at least read Sri Aurobindo and the mother. That's the minimum. Because those words have their magic. They do magic. Jai Ma, Bande Mataram.